So I want to share a poem with you by W.S. Merwin called Thanks. Listen. With the night falling, we are saying thank you. We're stopping on the bridges to bow from the railings. We're running out of glass rooms with our mouths full of food to look at the sky and say thank you. We're standing by the water, thanking it, standing by the windows, looking out in all directions. Back from a series of hospitals, back from a mugging, after funerals, we are saying thank you. After the news of the dead, whether or not we knew them, we are still saying thank you. Over telephones, we are saying thank you in doorways and in the backs of cars and in elevators, remembering wars and the police at the door and the beatings on stairs. We are still saying thank you. In the banks, we are saying thank you. In the faces of the officials and the rich and of all who will never change, we go on saying thank you. Thank you. With animals dying around us, our lost feelings, we are saying thank you. With the forests falling faster than the minutes of our lives, we are saying thank you. With the words going out like cells of a brain, with the cities growing over us, we are saying thank you faster and faster. With nobody listening, we are saying thank you. We are saying thank you and waving, dark though it is. Hard though it is, Merwin's poem, Thanks, reminds us that though the world is full of terrors, it's also full of awe and beauty. And though it may sometimes feel impossible to see the good, Merwin writes of people whispering and shouting their thank yous into the dark. And he describes people running from their glass rooms with mouths full of food to look up at the sky and still say thank you. And he shows us cities growing over us, violence and conflict shadowing our days, yet still he repeats the same defiant refrain, thank you. Thank you, thank you, dark though it is. And what I love about this poem is that Merwin doesn't pretend the world is fine. He doesn't turn away from pain. He shares the challenges of this world bluntly. And I have to say, to being shocked when I first read this poem, going, oh, can we really still say thank you in the midst of this? And precisely because the world is fragile, he calls us to gratitude, not as a saccharine mood or as spiritual bypassing, but as the spiritual practice of resistance and resilience. Gratitude becomes a way of refusing to let despair be the final word. And that seems to me what we need right now, isn't it? We could easily sink amidst all of the difficult things happening right now. But remembering to say thank you amidst and despite a world full of challenges and pain is a way to grow our resilience. So we gather this morning at the edge of Thanksgiving, a holiday which itself is filled with the shadow of its origins. Even as we gather together in our families and give thanks. And we do so at a time when for many of us, gratitude doesn't come easily. And there may be complicated situations in our families and in our lives and around our Thanksgiving table that we have to hold in addition to the celebration. Some of us arrive with aching hearts. Some of us are buckling under the cruelty and injustices of the world, or the pain of loss, or the struggles of illness, or the uncertainty of our finances, or of family dynamics. Some of us carry private griefs that have no holiday, no tidy container, no easy relief. And still, our faith invites us to whisper thank you into the dark, even when it's hard. Not to pretend everything's all right, but to remember that gratitude and struggle can coexist within the same human heart. And believe me, I've had to practice that a lot lately. And at times we may feel overwhelmed by the hard stuff, and it would feel like spiritual bypassing to go straight to gratitude. So in those moments, we must allow ourselves to fully feel our feelings, observe them, give them some airspace, and then let them pass through before we're ready to be grateful for anything. And that's okay. Acknowledge the pain, the hurt, the injustice, and allow yourself to feel it. And then, when you've had a chance to let it pass through you, find the gratitude for the ongoing beauty of life. Like you said, Marcy, just waking up this morning is a gift. In Buddhism, the practice of gratitude is sometimes described as watering the seeds of joy. Even when sorrow is present, we water the new seeds anyway. Just as we raise children in the midst of hardships, we continue to do it faithfully, trusting that joy will again rise in its time. And as Buddhist teacher and peace activist Thich Nhat Hanh taught, gratitude is one of the ways we come home to the present moment, discover that even in the midst of difficulty, we are still held by life. And he knew difficulty intimately, having survived the Vietnam War and subsequent horrors. And yet he kept his peace and his gratitude close to his heart. And in Hinduism, many practice regular pujas as a way of offering thanks, not only for blessings, but for acknowledging the very energy that moves through all things, even the difficult events that shape and refine us. Gratitude is woven into the fabric of daily life, not as a denial of hardship, but as a way of meeting reality with reverence. Life is full of both joy and pain. And I don't imagine there's anyone in this room who hasn't experienced both. In the Christian tradition, in Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul writes, "Give thanks in all circumstances." Not for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. And there's quite a lot of wisdom in this difference, I think. We're not asked to be grateful for injustice or loss or harm, no. We're invited to find gratitude even in the midst of them, which is a radically different thing. And in Unitarian Universalism, gratitude, of course, is an expression of our shared covenant and our generosity of spirit and heart. It's part of how we honor the sacredness of life, the interdependence of all beings, and the love that we enact together, even when life feels uncertain or difficult. So gratitude in our community becomes a communal practice, not just a private virtue, like we did with our bracelets. It connects us to one another. It widens our perspective. It roots us in resilience. Now, you may be aware that our monthly gratitude gatherings we are holding, in which we aim to expand our practice and capacity to be grateful no matter what. And if you haven't gone to one of our open circles, it's happening today up in the Nest, and you're welcome to join us. And it's also what we practice together today in our bread ceremony. Merwin whispers thank you into the dark, and I hear in his words a spiritual summons. The call is the same as the one that comes from Buddhists tending the seeds of joy, from Hindu priests offering puja, from Christians giving thanks in all circumstances, and from our own UU ancestors who gathered around humble tables to share bread and honor the ordinary miracles of life. It is the call to remember that gratitude is not what we feel only when life is easy, right? It's easy to be grateful then. Gratitude is what we practice when and because life is difficult. And gratitude doesn't erase our struggle. It strengthens us to navigate life with grace. Friends, gratitude also enlarges our hearts. It interrupts the spiral of fear. And sometimes after a hard day, I lie in bed at night and I can't sleep. And so I encourage myself to think of at least 5 things I'm grateful for that day, even when I don't feel like it. And usually it helps me turn my mood around and my day. And sometimes I even get back to sleep more peacefully. And gratitude reminds us that even now there are small, stubborn blessings that keep us alive. Something like a kind word, or a warm cup of tea or coffee. The laugh of a friend, Matt Chapa, always brightens our days, doesn't he? A hug, the very breath that fills our lungs in every moment. A bird singing on a telephone wire. Morning light shining on our face. And bread shared in community baked by our fellow beloveds. Our hardships don't disappear when we give thanks, but we discover that our spirits regain a little space. Our breath can breathe a little easier. Courage begins to stretch its wings, and hope for better times can creep in. So this morning, as we prepare for our harvest bread celebration, I invite you to hold some questions in your heart. Not the superficial questions like what you're grateful for, but the deeper questions. Like, what is carrying you through difficult times? What is sustaining you right now, even when things feel uncertain and the news is filled with horror? And where is the small ember of light that is still glowing in your life, in your body? Because that is where gratitude begins, in the quiet places within, which is where our resilience is born. So when we break bread together, this morning, we don't do it because life is perfect or because we want to pretend away the sorrows and struggles of the world. We do it because this is what communities do when life is hard. We gather. We nourish each other. We share our abundance. And we tend the spark of hope for one another. And we whisper thank you together, even in the dark. And so this is my call of action for you today. Let us practice gratitude as Merwin practiced it, fiercely, softly, mindfully, and persistently. Let us offer thank yous not only for the obvious blessings in our lives, but for the fragile, ordinary gifts that keep us going. Let us break bread together with courage and humility. And let us water the seeds of joy within ourselves and one another and amongst our children. And let us choose gratitude as a conscious choice, as a form of resilience, a form of hope, and a way to love more. Are you up for that?
You bet.
So let us say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Dark, though it is. So now, my friends, with our Thanksgiving Bread Communion, we have a chance to celebrate our interconnectedness and offer gratitude for the harvest as well as the hard things in our lives. The first Thanksgiving was a celebration of the harvest with farming methods taught to the white man by the generous indigenous peoples of this land who were treated horrifically. The breaking of bread is an ancient ritual of community and connection, celebrated in many different traditions and many different ways. And various cultures offer food as a gift to bring people together, to heal discord, to comfort one another, and to honor the bounty of our earth and her abundant gifts.